Take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Yes, I was coughing, but I don't have COVID. I choked on my water. All right? Yeah. Yeah. Somebody sent me a picture of a roadkill deer, and it said, died of COVID, wear a mask. I thought it was funny. I'm sorry. All right, Ephesians chapter 3, I'm going to do something. I'm going to teach you on the recipe for family. The recipe for family, it's going to be a two-nighter. So tonight we'll teach part one. Next Wednesday night we'll teach part two. Because as I got into this thing, it kept getting longer and longer and longer. And that's the way it happens sometimes. So it'll be a two-parter, but I want you to be here. So the recipe for family tonight. Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse number 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this. Of whom the whole family, now watch this, in heaven and earth is named. Notice those two statements there. In heaven and earth is named. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Family is one of those things that means so much to most of us. It doesn't mean that every member of the family makes you feel warm and fuzzy. We all have that one person that you wish was in somebody else's family. All right? That person you're laughing about is who I'm talking about. You know, we all have that one. You know, Aunt Gertrude or Uncle Leroy or whatever, you know, I'm trying to think of names that probably nobody has, but you know who it is, you know, that one when the family gets together, you say, boy, I hope they're sick and not here. I hope that one's not coming this time. It might be your mother-in-law. I don't know. It's not mine, but it's just one of those things. Now, God intended for humans to be part of his family. You have to understand something. God wants man to be part of his family. He not only wanted to be God, but he wanted to be our Father. We have to understand something. God made us to be his family. And with that, sin separated this. But God made it possible for salvation so that we could be reunited with his family. Now, I want you to notice something. Here's something that you got to understand. We not only are God's family by blood if we're saved, but we're also his family because sin separated us. He adopted us back. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. By the way, this is why in the church we would call each other brothers or sisters in Christ. It's not because we don't know who your name is. Although it is a Baptist way of getting around it, all right? But Romans chapter 8, did I say chapter 6? Oh, good. Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. So who's this talking about? That's the Holy Spirit. And if he dwells in you, that's to somebody who has been saved, correct? Because he can't dwell in somebody that's not saved. He that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. The word quicken means bring to life. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? sons of God. Isn't that a family term? Okay, now watch this. For if ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The word Abba there means daddy. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. God says that if you're saved, you become a child of God. Now, you got that way because of the blood of Christ, and we all have the blood of Christ that gives us spiritual life. But we were separated in our bodies, so God had to adopt us as well by the Holy Spirit of God. We have his blood, but because of sin, we separated from him. Through salvation, the Spirit then gives us adoption so that our bodies could be raised with him. And we become heirs, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, because we have a spiritual birth. Now listen to this. To the child of God, we must realize that we have two families. We have an earthly, physical, and I'll use the word biological family, but we also have a spiritual, heavenly, biological family. You have to realize something. When you got saved, your spiritual DNA came to life. And it's only got one strand, and it's called God. It's not compromised. That's what the word regeneration means. When somebody has been regenerated, it means regeneticized. When somebody gets saved, your old nature passes away, the new nature comes on, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Ooh. Say, what happens then? You get the genetics of God in you. You get spiritual, eternal genetics. Now, I say that to say this. That means this. We are biological brothers and sisters in Christ because we share the same blood, Jesus Christ. Now, your fellow Christians are more related to you than your physical family because your physical family is only temporary. Your spiritual family is eternal. Let me say that again. Your biological family is temporary. How many of you have had family members pass away? Everybody has. Guess what? They are temporary. But if they were saved, they're eternal. And to every other saved person, they're part of the family of God. So our brothers and sisters in Christ are an eternal family. Now, watch this. Sadly, we often put our physical family above our Christian family in spite of the fact our physical family is not eternal. There are people who will ruin themselves spiritually for their temporary family and hurt their eternal family. Just for the temporary family. Everybody doing all right? I love you. Here we go. Back in Ephesians 3, look at verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. God said there's a family in heaven and there is a family on earth. Now, some of the family will be in both places. Praise the Lord for that. But some will not be. Some of you have had loved ones who have died without Christ and will not be in heaven with you. Now, hang on. God tells us here in Ephesians 3 about the family. God tells us that the family in heaven is the pattern for the family on earth. Our family on earth is after our heavenly family, and that is where the earthly family is named from, the Father and the Son. the children of God, the sons of God. Now, in the Hebrew, in the Greek languages, anything that is not known is done in the masculine gender. You would always defer to that, and that's why it doesn't say the sons and daughters. It's the propriety of the language itself. Now, we can use the family on earth and have a family on earth as he wants. But may I say this? This doesn't mean that everyone in the family is going to do what we want.
Sure.
How many of you have biological family members that don't quite live the way you think they should live? Raise your hand. All right. And I'm not talking about the ones in your house necessarily. All right. Yeah, I'm not going there. Not going there. Just because they don't do what you want, does that mean they're not in your family? Oh, no. Not yet. Now, when they get married and they leave home, that's another story, but they're still part of your family. Now, watch this. Just because somebody doesn't obey right in the church doesn't mean that you kick them out of the church either. See, it doesn't mean we... there's a recipe by which we are to follow, and it's found here in Ephesians 3, and I'm going to show you the recipe for family. You ready? Here we go. Now, there's five things. We're going to cover two tonight, I think, and three next week, but we'll see how the time goes here. Number one, strength. Number two, love. Number three, education. Number four, God's power. And number five, prayer. I know this doesn't make sense to you right now. Strength, love, education, God's power, prayer. These are the five things God mentions here in Ephesians 3 that give us our family, that make up or comprise the family. Number one, the family is supposed to give strength, not just use our strength. Look at verse number 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be what? Strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Strengthened by might. That word might means dynamite. It's the word dunamis. Strengthened with power. Did you know your family is supposed to strengthen you, not weaken you? Now, I'm going to make a statement here. Strength does not come by peace and no resistance. Strength comes by resistance, by opposition. The word strength means capacity to withstand force or pressure. I should be the strongest person in the world. I raised Josh and Jeff and Melinda, my wife and I. Did you know that child rearing is pressure? God bless these people that have 8, 10, 12, 14, 20 kids. You know, saw something the other day. Some family had 3 kids and then they had 6 septuplets. They had 6 more. Can you imagine going from 3 to 9 kids? Kawam! God bless those pitiful people. Don't you do that. I'm done. Thank God. Y'all can have that many. That's up to you, but not me. God did not make grandparents to rear kids.
Amen.
That's just not happening. Strength is a result of struggle. Strength is a result of opposition. Or strength is a result of carrying a burden or lifting a burden. Strength is not comfort or pity. It's cheering you on to keep you going. Brother Scott, you've lifted weights before. I'm not talking about your fork and your spoon. All right? But, yeah, he's graduated to a pitchfork now. Yeah, buddy. And serving spoons. But, yeah, buddy, back up the table and just pour it in. Amen? Now, wait a minute. When you lift weights, you got to have you're supposed to have spotters. At least one. Generally, you're supposed to have two. But that means if you get weight down, if you're on a bench and you drop weight down and you can't get it up, if you don't have somebody help you get it up, you're going to die. Okay? It's either going to crush your chest or you're going to let go and it's going to crush your neck. You say, how do you know? Been there, done that. All right? When I was working out, I'd work out, box 3 rounds and do weights and different things. And then we'd bench and we'd try to max out. And man, I'd gone through a full 30-minute workout and I'm pushing weight. And at that time, I was about 170 pounds. And I was lifting 230. And I got up to 235 one day and I got it down and I got it halfway up. And there was nothing left in the tank. Well, my spotter was in the next room. I said, help. And he said, Brother Bush, is that you? I said, help. You know, everything's shaking. And finally he said, oh, you need help. Yeah. Man, we finally got that thing up, you know. Didn't take a lot for him to help pull up, but I didn't have it in the tank. I found out what the max was that day, 230, not 235. Now, wait a minute. You say, what was that? It saved my life. Now, watch this. He wasn't there to lift the weight. He was there to help me in case I needed help. Amen. That's what family is. We're there to cheer you on. You know, he's the coach that says, one more, you can do one more, one more, one more. Oh, I hated coaches like that. One more suicide. Just do it. One more. That filthy liar, we did 20 more. One more. You didn't do it good enough. One more. Yeah. The coaches can't count. They can only count to one. One. Do one more. Do one more. That's all they have to count to. They just say, do one more. You know, strength is not comfort or pity. It's cheering somebody on to help them get the job done. Now, listen to me. That doesn't mean your family needs to add to your load. But they could be spotters and help you carry the load. They could cheer you on to help you lift the load. Parents, you're not supposed to do the work for the kids. They're supposed to do their work. Amen. You're to let them fail and fall and at times get it partway up and let it pin them down a little bit, scare them a little bit. Nothing wrong with that. Now, I didn't say let it kill them. But you got to let them struggle a little bit. Young people, you need to launch out and push it a little bit. Well, I'm just afraid I might get tired. Oh, well, join the real world. Tired people run the world. Did you know the sun comes up slow and goes down slow? It's not a switch that happens when you pull the shade up or curtains back in your room. Brother Roloff used to say, you make a living 9 to 5, you become successful from 5 to 9. Right. There's a lot of truth to that. You need to let children struggle. My wife, from the time my kids could walk, could stand up, she taught my children to do laundry. They had to pick their laundry up and put it in the basket. Then she'd pick them in the basket up and take them down to the washing machine. And she'd tilt that thing up, and if they could grab in there and pour clothes, they were putting clothes in the washing machine. They were helping Mama do laundry. Yeah, and then they got to the point where they had to do laundry on their own. They weren't as excited about it. But I promise you one thing, as my kids went to college, as my kids lived on their own, they knew how to have clean clothes. If they didn't, it's their fault. It wasn't because they weren't taught. By the time my kids got to high school, they had to do all their own laundry. If they didn't have clean clothes to wear, too bad. Your problem. You're in charge. But Mom, I didn't wear your clothes. You did. Well, I can't find. You washed them. You put them away. You say, why did you do that? Because you hate your kids and you didn't want to do laundry? No, I was trying to teach my children. My wife was trying to teach them how to survive on their own. All three of my kids learned how to do some cooking. You say, why? Both my boys. You say, why? Because they needed to know, ain't no bush ever starved to death. We can find something to gnaw on and cook, amen? kill it, cut it, and put it on fire, we can eat it. Amen? You say, why? Because there's survival skills there. Amen? I'll guarantee I have probably cooked for more people than most women in this room. I'll guarantee it. Every year for about 10 years, I served about, somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 or 10,000 people in 1 week. I've been in restaurants. I've done restaurant work when I was 16, 17, 18, 19 years old. By the time I was 17 years old, I was the head line cook at a steak restaurant. And I'm not talking Arby's and McDonald's. I'm talking about, at that time, it was an elite place called Mr. Steak Restaurants. I would run a 6-man galley myself. That restaurant would seat about, I'm guessing, around 120, 130 people. And I would run full house myself. We would have 8 waitresses, and I just knew what to do. You say, why? Because my parents taught me how to cook. I can handle myself. Now, I can't tell you that I do all the cooking at home. I don't. My wife does. Now, if she needs help, I'll jump in and help. But that kitchen's hers, not mine. Now, I'm cleanup detail. I can handle it. I was a dish boy, too. I've done that. And almost every day, I help my wife with the dishes when we eat. You say, why? If she's good enough cooking, I'm good enough to help clean up. And if she's not there, I don't just go hungry or go to McDonald's. I eat what's there, or I make something. You do? Yeah, I ain't going to get that hungry. God knows I'm not going to eat McDonald's. You can go to Burger King now because they're now feeding their cattle so they don't emit as much methane. So you can have healthier burgers. I'm trying to figure out how to say that one without getting in trouble, and it's just not going there. Lord have mercy. I'm not kidding. I read the article today. They want to reduce methane gases by 15% in their cows. Get a bigger cork. Here we go. Now, family is not to carry the load. Parents, you do your children a disservice by not allowing them to struggle. Amen. Your children don't have to get straight A's. They need to learn to fail. Amen. They need to learn to struggle. They don't need you doing their work for them. They need to figure it out. Guide them? Yes. Give them the answers? No. I'll preach this here in days to come. Can I tell you something? I think every boy ought to learn to play baseball. Amen. Every boy needs to learn how to strike out and get mad about it and cry. You need to be in the bottom of the 7th inning, last inning in Little League. Bases are loaded, 3 balls, 2 strikes, and you're at the plate and you lose the game for your team because you struck out. Everybody, every man in the world, every boy in the world needs to know how bad that feels. Say why? So you don't do it again. Yeah, and don't throw the bat at anybody, all right? Accidentally or on purpose. By the way, educators are not supposed to dumb everything down so more people can do better.
Amen.
Folks, are the kids going to go back to school or are they not? Or as the news put it in the journal this morning, are they going to go to brick or to click for education? There's a part of me that hopes they don't go back because they aren't learning anything worthwhile in school anyway. We have quit educating, and is all we're doing. What you see rioting in the streets is what we've produced in our public school system. The strength we are to get from family is not pity, it's not coddling or aid. The strength we get is knowing people will cheer us on to help us carry the load.
Amen.
Folks, my dad's sitting back there. when things get tough at the church, I don't go to my mom and dad's house and say, Daddy, will you help me? I don't know what to do. You say, why? Because there'd be a size 9 coming somewhere I don't want it. He might not be able to have his foot in it, but it's coming at me. He can't get it up that high anymore, but it's coming, I promise you. Get out there and be a man. I taught you what to do. Go figure it out. Sometimes that's what is needed, not, oh, come here, let me burp you. Let me catch your tears. Let me fix it. Let mommy fix it. Oh, God bless you. That's why you got 40-year-olds living in mom and dad's basement and living, mommy's got to cook his meals. Yeah, I got to hurry here. Strength is not, you're going to love this one. Strength isn't putting your paper on the refrigerator. It's to show everybody your good grade. Okay. Well, we just want to show off their work. Sometimes showing off somebody's work hurts them, not helps them. You want to show off their work? My dad, when we were kids, we had a wood-burning stove in our living room. And we heated our house. We had a little bungalow, two-bedroom bungalow, and Dad took the middle of the attic and made my brother and I's room. Right in the middle of the, or right at the end of the living room was the door that went up the stairs to our bedroom. We grew up in Northeast Ohio. It gets cold. We get lots of snow. You know, it had to be 15 below zero before Dad would turn the thermostat up on the stupid furnace. We cut wood and cut wood and cut wood and cut wood and split wood and split wood and split wood all summer long, 90-100 degrees outside, dripping wet. We had wood piled 3/4 of the way to the top of the garage, you know, 4 foot deep, all the way the length of the garage. And guess, you know, you got hot cutting it, you got hot splitting it, then you had to carry that stuff in, and then you had to dig it out of the snow to get it inside. And we'd heat that stupid house with wood and one little insert in the fireplace, literally. You know how I learned the good work ethic? My dad would say, what was your gas bill? Oh, really? That high? How come? He'd say, oh, my boys helped me cut wood, and we're heating our house with wood. They paid their way. They've helped cut the gas bill down. I mean, I helped pay the bill? Yeah, you helped pay the bill. 12, 13 years old, I paid the gas bill. I didn't pay it. We didn't use it. But my dad was building us, teaching us our work was paying off at a later time. He would often do that. Why in the world you have to can tomatoes in August? And it's 100 degrees outside. And we had one of those old gas stoves in the basement. You know the big cast iron things that weigh about 600 pounds. Why in the world you got to do canning tomatoes in August when it's 100 degrees outside? And Dad's gardens are never small. You know, we'd do 100 quarts of tomatoes. You know, it sounded like a pop gun factory going off down there after we can, you know, pop, 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 pop everywhere. But standing over that stupid coal packer, y'all know what a coal packer is? You know, the big pot with the, and you put your glass jars in there and you got to boil them so long, then pull them back out and grab them puppies out of there, put more back in there and do that all day long. Oh, what a mess. And then you have one that cracks and you pull the jar out, tomato juice everywhere. And you got to dump the thing out and do it all over again. And guess who gets to do all that stuff? Bottom of the totem pole. Yeah, buddy. Now, wait a minute. But all winter long and all next spring, we had tomatoes. Or applesauce. I still have scars from applesauce. Not healthy, all right? we're not to seek a pat on the back. We're supposed to do certain things because we're supposed to do it. Can I tell you something? We ought not train our kids to fish for a compliment. Too many adults are seeking for a compliment, fishing for one. They want their paper on the refrigerator at church. Did you see what I did? Children need taught that every job doesn't deserve money. Some jobs just deserve you to do it because you're supposed to do it because you're part of the family. The strength of family is the encouragement, not the critical comments. Well, I could have done better than that. Well, if you'd have done it this way, it'd been easier. That's not strength. Not saying you can do it better or doing it your way or the negative comments. Well, you didn't do this with it too. How about you encourage and give strength rather than cutting them down? Some of you wonder why home is so stressful, but yet nobody ever does anything right or as good as you could, but you didn't do it. I remember one time saying, I think I could do it better than that. My dad said, go ahead and try. Boy, it didn't work out real well. Ended up in disaster. Say, why? Then shut up and listen to me. Yes, sir. My dad got some of this ironwood one time. Have y'all ever split ironwood? You know what ironwood is? You get it. There's trees up north, and it's called ironwood. And a lot of it is it sucks the iron from the ground. In the trees, after you cut them, they turn rust red. It's got a lot of metal in them. I don't even know how these stupid trees, but Dad's out there, he's splitting oak, you know, pow, pow, pow. I'm thinking, man, I could do that. I said, Dad, let me try. He picks up one of those stupid ironwood things and puts on there and thump, thump, thump. It falls off about 6 times and I'm going, rotten sucker grabs another oak log, puts it there, pop, what's your problem? Took me a while to figure that out, but I did figure it out eventually. And then I leave for college and he gets a wood splitter. I said, man, this is a new, I literally thought it was a brand new invention. He said, no, they've been around for years. I said, how come you didn't get one of these when we were kids? He said, because I fed 2 log splitters. Gosh, thinking all those stupid ironwood logs that I've beat myself with sledgehammers and chisels. You know, those are the ones we had to do while he was at work, you know. So you take a chisel, pop, 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 pew, pew. You'd spring those things out. I mean, you couldn't hardly split the stuff. Yeah, those are the jobs I got. The strength of family, though, is encouragement, not the discouragement. Home should be a place of encouragement and strength, not discouragement, criticism, and stress. I got to hurry. Number 2. So family, first of all, is strength. Second of all, it's a place of unquestionable love. Look at verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. 1 John 4:7-8, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You cannot love without knowing God. You can lust, you can like, but you cannot love without knowing God, because God is the source of love. By the way, that's why Christians should not date and marry lost people. Because a lost person cannot love you. It's impossible. They don't have the wherewithal to love you because God does not dwell in them. Everybody doing okay? Real love has to be established by salvation. This one's going to twist you in a knot in a second here. That's why children, as they start getting older, you love them because they're your kids, but you'd like to pinch their heads off and spit down the hole too, because they're not saved yet. You know, you get to the terrible 2s and 3s. And 4s. And if they live long enough to 5. Y'all know what I'm talking about? People say, oh, my child is like they're a demon. No, they're lost. They are acting like a lost person because they're not saved yet. And there is a transformation that takes place in a child that gets saved. I can't explain it all, but a two-year-old and a three-year-old are acting just like the lost world does because they only react to the flesh. Me, mine, and lie. You don't have to teach a kid to lie. They do it naturally. You don't have to teach them to sin. They do it naturally. But once they get saved, there is a change. You say, why? Because then they start loving back. Did you know a baby doesn't love you? You love it. It does not love you. Because anybody can pick it up and take care of it. Now, it might not like it because it's not mama as much, but it would adapt. I know that doesn't make you feel any better about it, but it's the truth. A child, an infant, cannot love you back. They don't have the wherewithal to love. But boy, you get that kid and they start growing up and they get saved, and boy, can they love. Now watch this. This also means every family member needs to have their own personal walk with God. I believe families should have devotions, but I think every person in the family needs to walk with God by themselves. If I had to choose between family devotions and my kids when they were home, spending time with God by themselves, spend time with God by yourself. Say why? Because mom and dad aren't always going to be there to spend time with God with you. And they need to learn to spend time with God by themselves, reading their Bible and praying by themselves. Now, I prayed with my kids every night. My daughter, before she got married, we were talking about that. She said, Daddy, remember when you'd come into my room? She was the only person in the world to like my singing. The only one. She doesn't like it anymore. She got the toe-headed idiot now. But, you know, you don't need to ask them if they want to walk with God. You need to teach them to do it. Well, I don't know if they got enough out of it. I didn't ask you to judge them. Just get them to do it. See, too many of you want to play God and decide whether they're close enough to God or not. Quit being God. They're not trying to get close to you. They're trying to get close to God. If they do get close to God, they will be close to you. Boy, that's a good statement. They don't need to report to you. You're not God. You can't make someone be spiritual, but you can make it available, just like God did. You need to teach your children that they have to make those decisions, and you cannot force them to be spiritual. You can force them to obey, but you can't force them to be spiritual. Boy, there's a lot I'd like to say right there, but I've got to hurry here. Notice verse 17 again, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be being rooted and grounded in love. Those are two interesting words. The word rooted there means, it's the Greek word rhizo. It means to stabilize. If you know anything at all about plants and science, you have, let's use a tree, you have a tap root that goes down, and then you also have roots that go out this way. They're called rhizoid roots. How many of you ever heard that before? Right? A few of you? The rhizoid roots are the ones that go this way to give the tree stability. The one that goes down gives it food. The ones that go out give it stability to keep it from falling over. But it's interesting, in a plant or a tree, those rhizoid roots, you can cut those, and you can reroot them and turn them into another tree that will be DNA genetically just like the other tree that it came from. That's exactly what God says. By the way, that's a family word. Let me show you what I mean. Come here, Brother Josh. My dad's back there. He's the original bush. Somebody chopped off the rhizoid root and another bush came. Then we chopped it off and there's another one. And we have brought that line through the ages by cutting that root, that stabilization root, to reroot it to make another plant. Thank you. You can have a seat. Did you know you're not supposed to rear your kids to keep them at home the rest of their life?
That's right. Yes, sir.
They're supposed to leave. Bible says leave and cleave. All right. Notice the first word's leave. You know, leave, get out of here. No. But it also says grounded. That word grounded means laying a foundation. Or it's the settling of a foundation. We just built our house about a year and a half ago. And it takes about a year to 2 years before your house settles. You get little nail pops. You'll hear rafters from time to time going, boom, boom, thinking, okay, house is just settling. Get used to it. It doesn't do it a lot, but your ground will settle. The foundation settles. Now, that's the same thing that God says here. We are to be rooted and grounded in love. Our children are to be like part of the orchard. Did you know that a tree, the fruit that comes from a tree, is nothing but a seed pod? And you're supposed to take that, use the fruit from it, and plant the seed. Or chop the roots, reroot them, and make the orchard bigger. That's what family's all about. Churches are supposed to be the same way. I get a little weary of these churches that want to have online colleges because they're tired of sending their kids away to Bible college because we're sending our best away. That's what God said to do. Everybody doing all right? Would you want a heart surgeon that got his degree online? Why in the world would you want a preacher or a Christian school teacher who got their degree online? And why we think that it's okay for elementary and high school kids to get their degree online doesn't make any sense either. But we won't go there. A foundation with no building on it is wasted potential. There's a house just down the road here, just a couple doors down from Harry and Kathy's house. There's a house fire there, what, 3 years ago? About 3 years ago, the house burnt down. People decided they didn't want to build a house on it, and they're trying to sell the property with the foundation. There's a foundation there, but I'll be honest with you, it sat open so long, they're going to have to tear that basement out and start all over again because the foundation's been destroyed. There sits a foundation with no house. It's wasted potential. There's a lot of kids that grow up in church who have a great foundation and they waste their potential because they don't build anything on it. So much I want to say here, but I got to quit. Our love is to be rooted and grounded in the Bible and God so that we can love people that with whom we even disagree. I'm going to make a statement here. Your children ought to learn to love God more than love you. Well, I just want them to love me so much. Teach them to love God. They will love you so much. If you are the only object of that love and they don't know how to love God, when you're not there, what are they going to do? I didn't rear my kids to just stay in my home. I reared them so that when they left home or when mom and dad wasn't there, that they didn't shoot each other with guns. Usually. Even BB guns. That they didn't burn the house down. That they knew how to behave. That when they left home, that they understood that they when they went and got a job, that they knew how to behave themselves. Good night. When I was a teenager, every place I got a job, my dad would go visit and talk to the boss. And say, if he's not working, you let me know. I want you to fire him. I think, Dad, I just got the job. Yeah, I just told him to fire you if you don't work. Come on, Dad. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. Kids, you ought to be glad he wasn't your dad. You say, why'd he do that? Scared me enough. I wanted to work hard. Say, why? Because my dad believed in hard work. And he wanted his children to learn to work hard. By the way, we did learn to work hard. And I thank God for it. I taught my kids to work hard. My boys, my daughter are not afraid of hard work. Say why? Because they learn from an early age, you got to work. Family means strength, and it also means love. Did you know that if you can teach them to love God, they'll love people even when they're unlovely, when they're hard to love? But if you only teach them to love you, they're not going to make it. They're not going to make it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We'll cover the other three next week. Family. God's definition of family correlates with the church. By the way, this is true in church. This is true in your home. All these things are true about your spiritual family as much as your biological family.